Carolina Montañez.
Hey, yo, what it do? It's your boy, Rue, and I'm coming for you. And this is...
Sofrito Speaks.
Hey, what it do?
Welcome back. That's what I was supposed to say. Damas y caballeros, welcome back to the series... Official finale of Sofrito Speaks. If you did not check us out of our part one series finale, we announced that we are ending the show for the time being. Copyright trademark, please do not steal our name. Thank you.
Why would you even put that negativity in the air? That's crazy.
Y'all already know who we are. Let's jump into our first section, El Chisme, the part of the show where we let you know what had us fucked up and jodido.
And everything in between.
For the first time in a long time in the past 2 weeks.
You know, y'all, my car really still fucking with me. My car really still pissing me off. My car is just... So in the new year, we have now budgeted in to be able to extract the funds to start saving for a new vehicle because I cannot continue to wake up every day and wonder what is about to be.
I bet you wonder what will happen.
No, literally. Now. Legit. And I just think going into the winter.
How long have you had the car?
7 years.
For a Mazda? Mm-hmm.
It's a 2011 though.
Oh.
So I've had, like, yeah, I bought the car in 2015.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, it's giving me some time, you know. It's done its thing. It's
Jackson.
My poor Jackson. My poor boy.
Jackson is how I was able to get my license.
Yeah.
Which all happens on this podcast.
What a time to be alive. So great. But yeah, that's honestly, like, been my biggest concern. That's what's had me fucked up, so... Yeah. What you got?
Well, what hasn't had me fucked up? No, I think that in the last 2 weeks for me, what has really had me fucked up was the messages that I've been receiving regarding the conflict going on between Israel and Palestine. And I want to go on record and say that I do apologize for the misinformation on the last episode, which has now been removed. I know where I stand, but as you guys all know, when it comes to talking, it's not my strongest point. So I confused a little bit of the information. I still stand with Free Palestine. I want to be very clear that I'm drawing the line in the sand there. But I have been, a few people have reached out to me regarding the situation and, you know, how I have friends who their roots are in Israel and, you know, they're American and how they might feel a type of way. And I don't know what to politically say that's correct to kind of make you feel a little bit better. But I really just, I don't agree with what's going on. If it was Puerto Ricans, I wouldn't agree with the Puerto Ricans. If it was Dominicans, I wouldn't agree with the Dominicans. Like, I don't agree with what's going on in multiple locations in this world. I don't agree with what's going on in the U.S. But it's not my decision that should make you feel any type of way or my words. I don't hate any one of my friends. I don't hate anyone who disagrees. I also don't insert myself in conversation with people regarding politics because of that, because when I get worked up, I don't get the proper message out. The anxiety in my head starts like, you're saying this wrong. And that's what was happening. And I remember recording and I remember speaking and like, it didn't resonate with me. It was just like, you didn't write this down. You didn't have facts. You didn't have the message clearly. And I walked away from the recording just feeling inside like, I think I said something wrong, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody obviously reached out and let us know. And so I do apologize for that. But I still stand very clear. It's Free Palestine on my end. And you don't have to agree. That's totally okay. I'm not asking for anybody who watches this show to agree with me. Mm-hmm. That is not my place. That is not where I stand. I am not a leader of any kind. I am just a human with an opinion. and I'm allowed to have that. And I'm also not debating with anyone what's wrong and what's right. You hit me up, you will be blocked, no matter how long I've known you.
So, like, whatever comes out of his mouth,
hit me up.
Hit him up.
Yeah, because
I'm going to keep it a buck. I can't speak on the matter. I don't know what's what, this, that, and the third, because I have not myself done the research to understand fully and grasp fully what is going on. So if you're in my DMs, you're arguing with yourself, because I have not at any point said anything about either party, either side.
And it was the same energy that I had, like, back in 2020 when BLM was happening, like, all of that.
Yeah.
I am never going to sit here and try to convince someone that they are wrong when it comes to their point of view. That is your point of view.
Yeah.
Now, will I walk away from the situation? Will I ignore the situation? Absolutely. I tend to pay attention to the facts. And the facts that are presented to me help me choose exactly what I need to choose. And
form an opinion.
And form an opinion. And I suggest everyone do the same thing. Look into things. Make sure that you know exactly what's going on. Don't just listen to a friend. Because it's not very clear. And pay attention to the news sources that you are tuning into, because a lot of these news sources are catered towards a certain demographic, or they're catered towards a certain political party, or they're catered towards whoever's funding them.
Mm.
So it's very important to look at that. As for Sofrito Speaks, we are not a news source. We are not your news source. That is not what this podcast was about.
Nope.
And we have the Ay Bendito section for fun, commenting on celebrities and just little gossipy, little fun, you know? It was never to make anyone feel uncomfortable. So I do apologize if that's what you got from that. But that's what had me fucked up. I really was just like, oh my God, am I going to get canceled? And I was like, I'm not nobody, so it doesn't matter.
You're annoying. Anyways, with all of that being said, mi gente, we are going to wrap this section up and head into our next section, which is
the one that got us in trouble.
Ay bendito.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the next section, Ay Bendito, the part of the show where we go through local or global media headlines and just give you our opinions. Heavy on that, bold on that. Let's talk about, which I know you're not going to have much to input about this, but Nicki Minaj dropped Pink Friday 2.
Mm.
Absolutely love it. I was reading online that people were like, this music is garbage.
Yeah.
She's not giving us, like, that queen shit. Let me just let you guys know that I appreciate when Nicki Minaj is not just out here talking about she's a queen, she's a queen, she's a queen, and she's giving us quality music. And I feel like that's what she did with this album. Anybody who followed the Pink Friday formula will understand that it was a very low-key album. It was much about bars, singing, beats, and just the basics, you know. And I love that she kind of went there with this album. She opened the album up with a Billie Eilish feature, sample, sorry. Something everyone else was saying was like, oh, there's so many samples. Like, I miss real hip-hop. Babes. One of the elements, as now we're going into the 51st year of hip-hop, one of the elements of hip-hop, baby, is sampling. So Nicki Minaj is a rapper, okay? So she's going to sample. She gave us exactly what she needed to give us. And if you do not appreciate that, then by all means, hit next. I feel like with this album, in my mind, again, my opinion, I regained my Barb card. And I was like, yes, Pink with Bob Cut. Let's go. Like,
nah, I fool with Pink Friday. Heavy.
Pink Friday it's a classic. Heavy. And if you liked Pink Friday, if you sit down and listen to Pink Friday 2, you're like, I see the resemblance. I see where she was going with it. And she said it all along. She's like, Pink Friday 2 is literally the part 2 to Pink Friday. So I love that.
I mean, especially when you're used to this, like, quick rap stuff that we got going on, a body of work.
And she still dissed the girls. Like, she was still she was still out here giving very much, like,
I'm that bitch.
You're still a peasant. But I loved how she put it. I love Big Difference. I love, I didn't listen, I still don't listen to Super Freaky Girl. I cannot stand that song. It's another Starships for me.
Oh.
Although I will sing the fuck, actually yesterday on my way home. I was like, this one is for the boys with the polos.
That's super bass, not star shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Super bass. Take my bar card back.
I'm going off on super bass. So what are we talking about? Boy, you bar for bar. What are we talking about?
I just want an ice motorcycle. And with the temperature we've been having, it won't last long.
Yeah, you feel me? Like, wet.
On some other news.
Oh, my God. The building that collapsed in the Bronx.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What?
In Morris Heights, I believe.
Yes.
Morris Heights. The building collapsed. If you didn't know, it collapsed in the Bronx. New York has been going through it. They also just experienced a blackout. What? Yeah. Like, it's kind of like... Kind of makes you want to wake up.
Trippy.
But I saw a Dominican lady on TikTok recorded the collapse of the building, and the situation wasn't funny, but
the commentary was.
Her was just like, and I was just like, what the? Oh, I just hit myself on the wall. I was just like, what? She's like, pero yo no lo puedo creer. Y mira la pared. Ay, no. Ay, yo no lo puedo.
Dominicans are mad funny.
And I was like, why does this sound like a distant Thea of mine? Like, what is going on right now? This is insane. But yeah, my heart goes out to anybody who lost any property there or any... who lost their... I don't think there was any casualties. I don't know. We didn't fact check. Relax.
I don't know if there was any fatalities.
But, my heart goes out to those in the Bronx who had to deal with that this week. And then the blackout, I think, happened throughout Brooklyn, if I'm remembering correctly. So, there's a lot going on in New York. Oh, I saw a bull. Did anybody else see this? So, there was a bull on the New Jersey Transit. There was a bull with horns running down the train. It was wild. I sent it to my friend and I'm like, girl, what is going on? She's like, I don't know what's going on in New York this week, but the energy is insane. There's so many things happening. A random bull. I was like, how did this bull get here, first and foremost? How long has this bull been running?
And tell it to stop.
And now you're going into the city, babe. Not the bull. Not the bull being on its way to the city.
Pick it up.
The bull's like, I got places to go. And this train took too long. It's on the tracks. Speaking of New York and the Bronx, Miss Cardi B and Offset are officially broken up. And she was on the internet, which I really wish she didn't do this, but whatever.
Oh, dang.
She was on the internet telling all of Offset's tea. And basically what the way the story goes is that she was kind of helping fund Offset, because obviously we know that Offset wasn't making money for a little bit of time because he wasn't releasing music. Do I know this to be true? Absolutely not, but this is what they're saying. And then it goes into the storyline of how women always build men up. And then when men are good, they decide to walk away. And I was just
we see the narrative all the time.
I was like, damn. Men, we lost one. We lost the point right there because...
City boys down.
Yeah, that was a shady move. But my heart goes out to Miss Cardi B and that family because, you know...
Nah, she really like...
She really held it down for him. And she's like...
Not only that, it's like him and his other kids. Like, she made it a point to be
what we saw, she was a good bonus mom. I'm sure... Yeah. Listen, mark my words. I'm sure in the next few months we're going to hear about how she wasn't a good bonus mom.
Yeah.
I'm sure the other baby moms are going to come out and be like, we told her she didn't want to listen. I don't know if they talk like that, but in my head they do. I'm sure we're going to hear from him saying like there was times that he caught her talking to other guys.
I hope she's prepared for the BS that's about to come out when she decided to choose her own piece.
It just... pisses me off the fact that like she just was about to release the second album and I feel like this is gonna cause a major delay. One and two, one of my friends hit me up.
Or the music's about to be even.
No, so one of my friends hit me up and he was like, oh, this new album's about to be lit. And I was like, no, it's not. Because one, she doesn't even write her own shit, number one. And number two, this music was already recorded. I'm sure what we're going to receive on Cardi B 2 are tracks that have been recorded throughout the past 5 years, and they just put it together to say that it's album number two. And it's unfortunate.
Gotta get the sophomore album ready.
Sophomore curse, though.
That'll make or break it.
But yeah, that's all I. Oh, and Miss Adrienne Bailon, baby, you look
amazing. You saw her? She looks so good.
You got tiny quick, kinda. You on that Ozempic, mamas? And if you are, mail me one. I just need one tube to get me back on track. Not gonna lie, I have a physical coming up, and that's on my list to ask my doctor, like, so how can you prescribe me Ozempic? He's gonna be like, you're not overweight. And I'm like, oh, because when you checked my weight, you said I was.
You said so, I was obese.
Not, I said overweight, not obese. Cut the show right now. We are not. We are.
That's funny.
What you got, mama?
So, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I have not. Leave the World Behind on Netflix.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it because I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if my spirit is going to be able to digest it. I'm not going to hold you.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Maybe I got Holy Spirit on my side. The way my lens is going to look different than your lens is crazy.
I mean, I saw the breakdown from the spiritual side of it. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense.
But apparently it's like so realistic. Like whenever we think about an apocalypse, we are always thinking zombie apocalypse or like something catastrophic where like meteors are going to fall from the sky or whatever. We never think that if our Wi-Fi goes down, how we as a society would function.
Well, that's the way the premise of the movie is they did a cyber attack on the U.S.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's in, I believe, three stages. And basically, it's a brilliant way to just kind of like end the U.S. actually, because cutting the internet, yep, but controlling our electricity. So they went into the electric grids and they like control electric cars and all of these things, that because now everything is tapped in, wired into the system. Mm. And in turn, it's done by the government. The government got hijacked, and that's how all of this happened.
Yeah.
And in turn, people started turning on each other.
Yeah, it created a civil war because nobody trusts each other.
And it's a brilliant terrorist attack because...
Yeah, we implode.
It's actually the most... Yes, it's the most affordable terrorist attack because we do the damage ourselves. And then they just come in and take over the land. So it's kind of crazy. And then they drop, everything that's going on with Palestine. Yeah. So in one of the scenes, they drop something from the sky. And on the message, it's in Islamic writing.
Is it Arabic?
I thought it was
written in a different language.
Yeah. And basically, like, it's saying, like, something about God. I don't remember exactly the words. But at one point in the movie, they were, like, saying how... This dropped in this language here, but a few states over, it dropped in Chinese. A few states over, it dropped in this language.
Oh.
So it was dropped to confuse, to create a confusion.
So essentially, the premise of the movie is all the other nations
turned on the U.S.
On the U.S.
Yes.
Well,
and then the ending, I'm not going to tell you what happened. I'm just going to tell you that it was fucking stupid.
Damn.
The way this movie ended, I wanted to take my screen out of the wall and just throw the screen outside because I was, it was, put it like this, it ended and you were just sitting there like,
what do I do with this information?
What
am I supposed to do with that?
And my mom had told me, she was like, the ending is going to piss you off. It's going to piss you off. And when I saw it, I was like, this is so, you just heard me throughout the house. Like, this is so fucking stupid. But.
What I think is interesting is that Barack and Michelle Obama are the producers.
What? Directors. I did not know that.
So reason why this movie was as realistic as it was, from what I saw on like TikTok and different clips of people, was that Obama used the things that he had learned in his presidency help make this as realistic what could possibly happen. And I don't know. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like we're constantly being given hints. Constantly being given the signs of, you know, things that are going to happen, what's going to be next. And we might not see it this year. We might not see it next year. We might not even see it in five years, but we will see it. And I think that that's something to pay attention to. So
I haven't
seen the movie yet just because I think I watched so many of the spiritual side of it. I watched a lot of those videos to where I was like, I think I'm good.
I think it's one of those movies for me that's going to stay on my roster of like, I every year, like, or every few years, I got to return to watch, because I watched like World War Z, because I'm a firm believer of that. 2012, the one where the world is in, through weather. I'll add this one to the list. And then there's another one that Cloverfield. I know Cloverfield might not happen, but it's still like...
Keep you on your toes.
You know, I just want to know what to do.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, y'all, let's wrap this up and head over to our next section, which is...
Caldero Talk.
All right, mi gente, welcome to Caldero Talk, which is the part of the show where we are going to give you the meat.
La carne.
And just the topic that we're going to dive into for today.
Wait.
And for the first time in forever.
This is the last time we'll do this section.
This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world.
And when she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles.
There was no reason. I know you guys are going to miss us breaking out into song randomly. But yeah, this is our last Caldero Talk.
The meal is finally done. You know the girl that walks up the stairs at the end of the year? The Caldero is behind. Ya se puede comer. Y había hambre. The meal is done. Abuela?
The pernil.
Abuela's been at cooking. That kitchen for the past 3 years.
We could finally eat on her favorite floral china.
Yes, wow. We're pulling out the floral china for this one. So I thought it would be cute for this Caldero Talk if we talked about things that we have learned throughout our podcasting journey. I feel like throughout the years, people have came to us both together and separately. How does it feel podcasting? What have you learned? Like, what are tips and tricks? And I thought we can kind of dive into that to kind of just like let you guys know. Thinking back to season one, I know we always mention it and we know our growth, but it'd be good to kind of share. And obviously we invite anybody to, you know, pull up in the DMs one last time and just be like, yeah, that's true. And oh, don't forget that you also, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because I like to fight. So they're going to be like, every season, Ruben said he was going to the gym. Then we saw him not at the gym. And I learned that I'm not a gym girly.
Now, Ruben, what did we learn?
I'm fat. Apparently, I'm obese. I'm showing out, but...
Okay.
Let's start with a question of how did we feel sharing our life journey the past 3 years?
It was...
The story of a girl.
It's literally what it was. It was very freeing. I think going into it, we had this energy of like, nah, cause I got something to say. And throughout that, like, oh my God, what was our second episode? It wasn't Living La Vida Loca, no. It was Friends.
What about your friends?
Okay. And I remember...
Damn, we came out the jump.
We did. And I just... I think that I remember... Not my mascara. I remember sitting in the studio that...
We recorded on the floor.
Of one of our friends' studio. She allowed us to borrow it.
For What About Your Friends?
Yeah, we were sitting. Okay, we were sitting on the floor.
Shout out! Oh my God, yes! Yeah. Shout out, Kai.
Yeah,
Kai Photography.
Kai, like, used to give us the. I would drive to her house. She would give me the key to her studio,
and we would go, be able to record and there record and get there. Our video content yep. done, our little Instagram clips.
Yep.
Before we could afford any studio.
Yeah.
The grind.
The grind.
The grind that it was.
Literally, we didn't have chairs. We would just be sitting on the floor.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Recording, and. I remember, I don't know why that episode just sticks out in my brain the way that it does. But like today, when thinking about friends and stuff like that, my sister had texted me like her place setting for like her Friendsmas. And I was like, it will forever amaze me how many friends you got. Cause like I could never. Mm-hmm. And I started laughing cause I was like, but you did though.
Yeah. I was just about to say like that. The difference between that Nina and this Nina is, like, at that time, I feel like you were still wondering where that relationship was with you and all these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think now you're very well aware of just, like, this is where I stand.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thinking back to that episode and how, you know, knowing who I was in those friendships and how I was to these people and how much of myself I gave and how angry I was that it was never reciprocated. And I never made peace with it, with understanding that this is just what you had to give, but they weren't worthy of receiving it. Or maybe they were. They were never who I was supposed to give it to. And that's what I had learned. And that was what helped me make peace with the fact that they just were never my people. And so, you know, I even had to have the conversation with my sister of like, you don't need to invite me around these people. Like, I promise you don't. Like, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be anything. My main focus is you and I. They're just a distraction. Like, yeah. I don't have it in me to care, I guess, to try to rekindle any of that because I had already made peace with it. You know, and I told her, like, if it's not in a celebratory matter in terms of like you, because you're now our common denominator, then there's no reason for me to be present.
Right.
And because that's just a level of growth that I've reached where I will not subject myself to being in environments that are not going to serve me. And it's no diss to any of my old friends. It's just like a so long farewell to you, my friend. Goodbye for now and always until we meet again. We not. That's just what it is. You feel me? And yeah, that's one of the episodes that like is always very prominent in my mind when I think about the growth from then to now.
There's I think for me there's three episodes really that like spoke and like really stayed with me. One of them being the first season with talking about suicide and like just talking about my journey.
Did I block that episode out? I think I disassociated. Oh my God, we did talk about that.
Talking about my journey of dealing with suicidal thoughts and all of that. And that was one of the first moments that I could say I was like, I left the mic and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was, one, not ready to share that. And two, I mean, once it was out, I was just like, all right. Like, this is...
Where do we go from here?
Like, how honest can I be? The first season for me really was a reality check because, like I mentioned before doing podcasting, I would never really talk. Like, I would be kind of quiet. Like, I would be on Instagram doing my little stories here and there, but it was never really... You never really got to see side of me because I was always dancing or I was always behind the scenes and... I never got to share my story, and I knew that I had a story that I wanted to share, so that's the whole reason why I got into podcasting. The second episode that really did speak to me was the financial... It was during the pandemic, and we talked about financial... finances. I don't really remember the name of the episode.
Financial literacy?
I think so, and we talked about, you know, there was a point in the show where you were giving, you know, your advice of, like, how you're saving and how this is working. And I sat there and I was like, oh my God, like, I need to fucking get my relationship with money. I need to figure that out because prior to that, and it's still something that I very much am very open about with people and I still deal with, I was so, like, so reckless with money, you know, and I still kind of am, but still, like, now I kind of have a system and I know where money's coming in and out of, and I look at my bank account every day and I'm like, okay, are you broke? Are you broke? Are like, what is it? What
are we high broke, yeah, medium like, broke, or low broke?
Are we like, okay, you know, and then looking at things that I'm spending my money on, what's making sense financially, especially when I'm now in a phase of like, okay, I'm about to enter a time period where I really need to buckle down and save to kind of move on from this stage in my life. And I do, like, I think about that episode a lot. And I think about the episode that we did with Shout Out New York Dose. I think that was a time in my life that I really felt, like, very accomplished. And I felt like I had a good grasp on how to be on a team. And that was something that I've always struggled with. Like, I mean, I've always been on dance teams and I've always felt like the lesser one because I would be, you know, no shade, but like I would always be kind of like utilizing the back and I would always have to tell myself like, baby, we gonna shine whether backstage, on stage, off stage, like we are going to shine. And there had been times where people had came up to me in front of other people on the team and been like, yo, you were eating it up back there, like, bitch. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it's a testament to my talent. You can't hide me, period. Mm. But even that mentality, like being on this show and us making decisions together throughout the entire period was just like, and learning patience, like learning patience with one another, different person, dealing with another personality, dealing with my personality and seeing myself in situations and being like, you kind of handled that wrong. Or even Nina, like, I remember one time was like, you're very passive aggressive. And I was like, I don't like that.
I said that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
There was one time that you said that, but it made me check myself and it was like, and I didn't take it wrong. Like, I was just like, damn, like you're...
How did I deliver it?
It was in our past, in both of our passive aggressive language of just like...
Passive aggressive.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, and but it in when you're sitting down and reflecting, you're like, that's something that I've been told numerous times before and I never knew what that meant, but I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how am I being passive? And then like, when I looked up the definition, I'm like, oh,
I'm doing exactly
this
that.
Is you, you know, and you kind of got to work on it. Does it slip? Yeah, I think it's just in my nature, but I've really just tried to control it and just like try to understand that other people have lives. Other people come from different backgrounds and not everyone is on this trip that you're on. And I think sharing our journey these past 3 years has kind of really helped me come down from space and like get into earth and be like, hi. It's kind of been therapeutic. So
yeah, no, for sure. I think that I want to say maybe season 4. I don't remember what episode it was specifically, but we touched on accountability. And that was our background. So I knew it had to be like season 4.
Yep. Yeah. No, actually, that was season 5. 5 or 6. Because we're on 7 right now.
At this point, I don't know where we at. It doesn't matter.
I remember when I first introduced seasons to Nina.
Yeah, I was like, what? What are we doing? I thought we were just going to go straight through for 3 years.
I was like, well, we're going to need a break at some point.
But we talked a lot about accountability. And I think what this show has helped me do was truly, like, you know, hone in on that and really hold myself accountable because...
Sorry, I'm on Sofrito Speaks. Sorry.
He's so annoying. Really, truly honing on holding myself accountable because there were so many people that, you know, would either reach out or if they saw me, like, out and about, like, yo, Sofrito. In the beginning, I was like, who is just yelling Sofrito? Like, that's wild. And then I realized, oh, you're talking to me. Oh, shoot, you recognize me. That's kind of cool. But there have been so many people that have, you know, if they've seen me out or whatever, I'm not out often, but whatever. If I go to local events, I do go to, like, pop-up shops and stuff like that. you know, have said, like, you know, thank you, or, yo, like, how do you navigate this? Or, like, ask me actual, like, real life questions. And I took it seriously. Like, oh, you're listening to this show. Now, how would it look if I'm saying these things and you see me out in public and I'm doing the complete opposite? So there have been moments where I had to be, like, wildly honest with myself, like, damn, could you have done that better? Or, you know, how can you be better for the next time? And it's translated into a lot of different sectors in my life, more recently professionally. Like, even how I have apologized to my staff if I was, like, short with them one day or whatever, being able to circle back and be like, yo, guys, that wasn't even cool, man. Like, I should not have spoken to you guys like that. And I'm not even speaking to them out of pocket. There's just, like, a tone in how I'm saying something. But even still being able to go back and be like, I could have said that differently. Mm. My bad, y'all. Mm. And just their faces when they're like, wait, what? And I think that this show in itself has really truly helped me hold true to what it is that we say. Like, we're not sprinkling fairy dust on the things that we were saying. We were really actually practicing these things in real life time, which is why we're able to come back and talk about it and be like, yo, you know, this had me messed up, but this is how I handled it. Even just how we would start the show with El Chisme, we would come in mad hot, like, yo, let me tell you about this bitch and shit, yeah, blah 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 blah. We will go in, fam, and like the language and stuff like that. Like, yeah, we still cuss here and there, but it's like 75% less than what it was. And we never had that conversation. We never were like, hey, yeah, maybe we can clean it up a little bit.
I will have to meet you there. What's up? There definitely was a time after season one where we had a conversation about editing. Mm-hmm. And I was very much, which I'm still about this, like, I believe that we should be authentically ourselves.
Yeah.
And you were still in that mindset of like, I don't want people to perceive me as this person or talking like this. And I was just like we had to just have a real talk. And I was just like, well, this is your raw emotion. Like, this is what you wanted to convey. And I think going back and like, we did this recently for the first time in a long time. To go back and re-record an episode because something came across the wrong way. And it was like, you know, I think I lost my train of thought. And that's why I don't talk. No, just
LOL,
kidding.
No.
I think that, sorry.
No, you're good, you're good.
I think that being authentically yourself on a podcast is what really attracts people to the podcast.
Right. So what I'm just shedding light on is the evolution in our language.
Absolutely.
And how we started off with the rah-rah. We were all the way at the top. And we've like literally come down to like,
absolutely,
not a professional manner, but understanding that there is a way to deliver a message.
Well, we were yelling. And if you listen, we were yelling because we were hurt.
Mm.
We were so hurt. And that's how I see it. Like, it's season one. The topics we were talking about,
they were literally like, I am going through this right now and it's pissing me off and I need to get it out. And this is exactly how I'm going to do it and how I'm going to, like, that's how we did it. And this time it was, we tried the whole, you know, scripted and like, let's iron out and do this and this. And we were just like, that still don't work for us. And then we finally got to a point where it was like, yo, how you feeling? What do you want to talk about today?
And I think that's kind of like what I really loved about our show is like, I hear other people's shows and I hear them trying to talk about the same things. And there's very few shows who are just like giving it to you raw, real time of like, this is my emotion. This is what I'm going through. There's been times where both of us have gotten emotional. There's been times where one party might disagree and be like, I'm not going to get into that right now, but I'm going to let it be, you know? But I think that there's always been respect.
Yeah.
There's always been understanding. And there's always been space to just say what you got to say. Mm. And there's episodes that come to my head where I have sat here on the side of Nina and been like, you're going through it. You know, like, I would see the vein and be like, well, this is before we recorded, so you guys can never see it, but I would feel it, and I would let her have that moment, because I said to myself, like, she needs to get this off her chest. This is so, like, she's letting this go.
Yeah.
And I think that that was beautiful to witness throughout the 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, even just to, like, dial it back, like, in season one, we were two strangers that were like, there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you guys know we're cousins, but we weren't raised together.
We were raised together for a little bit,
like
in our youth.
Like a smidge.
For like 4 months.
Yeah, very, very small amount. But like...
babysitter type.
Yeah, like it wasn't... It didn't make or break how we grew up. It wasn't like...
You know what? Everybody has those cousins, that family that you're like on social media, like, that's my cousin. But in person, you're like...
Mm. Right.
So what are you about?
That's literally what it was. and, you know... I don't even remember when I started following you on social media. I don't remember when anything like that. But I remember him reaching out. I used to do these rants on my IG story daily, angrily. Like, I was a super angry human. And he hit me up one day and was like, would you ever be down to do a podcast? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he just moved back from New York. So we sat in the Starbucks for
which
a couple hours. Which no longer exists. And we figured out what the premise of the show was going to look like. Two strangers. I didn't know him in his adult life. He didn't know me in my adult life. So we were just kind of like, are we really about to do this? Like, are we really? And the first time we got on a mic was the most awkward recording session ever. Like, we didn't know what we were gonna say. We didn't know how deep we were gonna go. We didn't know how surface level we wanted to. We didn't know any of that. So then to get to this point in it, it's bittersweet because there is an avenue for this, for what we were doing. And we might not have put ourselves in the right rooms. We might just not have been talking to the right people for it to pay us and be an income.
We're taking accountability.
You know.
But I also think at the same time, I think that we live in a place where we have to do things a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a release for us, right? And for a while, we were like, let's go to New York. Let's do this. And then it just came to a point, like, I know for me, I can only speak for myself, but I was just like, this isn't what I think it is, because I cannot think that big.
Mm.
I am not in a place to believe in myself. I am not in a place to handle this. And it's kind of just gotten a little bit over the cup run over for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I had to really sit with and learn, because it's like, there had been times that Nina had offered to help. And in the beginning, I was just like, I got it. Don't worry about it. And it was just like, then now, you know what I'm saying? Now we're in midway through and you're like, it's too much for me. And like, I had to realize with myself, like, had you just been a team player rather than trying to be a team leader, things could have gone a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, there is no one to blame. I think that when we talk about like not going to certain rooms and stuff like that, I feel like it's hard for me to see, for me to see, like, there's been times that you were like, maybe we should go to this. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
No. And that's legit. Be like, I don't want to do that. And I think that we lacked a lot of discipline.
Ooh!
In where we wanted this to go.
We lacked a lot of discipline in a certain area, but we had discipline when it came to a schedule. Mm-hmm. We had discipline when it came to providing content, because even through the pandemic, other podcasts took a break, baby. We shifted real quick to online.
Yeah.
And even through the beginning of the pandemic, I remember it was very much so, okay, let's find another place to record and let's go record. And we sat at a kitchen table and we recorded. And
then we got Zencaster.
And through all of that, like, we were just like, we needed to give. The number one thing that we would always say is like, we can't lose our listeners. We can't lose our listeners.
But that was the point that we realized that we actually outgrew our general population. We outgrew here, and the listeners became Philly, Jersey, New York. We've had people in
We've been played in Puerto Rico. We've been played in Thailand.
South
Africa. Yeah.
We see our analytics and it's like, oh shit. We did that.
It hit.
And you know, and again, this is why he was very strategic. And when he said, you know, for now, because if we decide to pick this back up, you know, we can come at it from a different angle because we have this experience now. You know, even in the beginning, before we even had the first episode or anything, you know, we went out to New York, for Skittles event. We talked about this podcast like it been running, like it been doing this thing.
We did the TLC.
We walked into this YouTube event in New York. We took a day trip and we went to this event. And we met Local Ninja. These are people that, you know, Ruben was already affiliated with. I had never met these people. So I met Skittles. That's when I met DJ. Adeloso. Who else?
That was our first time meeting these people. Mm-hmm. Dean Huertas, apparently.
We met him there? We did.
I thought you were the one that told us that.
Yeah. We did meet him there. Yeah, that's correct.
Let me tell you something, okay? We did meet in that Starbucks and we made up the name and all of that jazz. When we went to that New York event, and I remember, like, in the moment, we looked at each other and we were just like, yeah, our show is about this and this. And Nina's like, yeah, no, we're also talking about this and this. And I'm like, and we made Sofrito Speaks literally on that floor.
Yeah.
We were doing sections, we were doing this, like, and when we came back, it was just like this pressure, but a good pressure.
We hungry now.
We're going to do this. And I remember I had gone out to LA and I was telling my one of my friends, this was like a few weeks before we started recording. And I was like, yo, I'm really about to do this podcasting thing. And I was with my stepbrother and we were hiking Runyon. And I was like, yo, I'm about to do a podcast. He's like, are you sure that's what you want to do? Like, you're going to share your story and da da da. And I was like, yeah, like, it's going to work out. This is going to be called Sofrito Speaks. And everyone was like, Sofrito Speaks? Up to my barber today, I just told him, like, yeah, I'm going to go record. He's like, why are you so dressed up? You always come in joggers. And I'm like, I have to record today. I have to record a podcast here for Ruality, because he had only known Ruality. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I actually have another one. It's called Sofrito Speaks. And today's our last episode. He's like, Sofrito Speaks? He's like, ¿qué nombre es eso? And I had to break it down to him. He's like, I like that. Even down to our name, it was unique and everything. Like, the beginning, the origins of Sofrito Speaks is something that I will never forget. And I hope to only create future business adventures with people who have that mindset and feel like, you don't have to have it all planned out. You just got to, like, know what you want to do and start. And I think when we got into, like, season 3, that's when I was like, oh, we got to figure out how to level this up. You know? And, yeah, absolutely. Midway through season 2, we were like, okay, we're no longer resonating with the 978. We're now somewhere else.
Yeah.
And where that was for a little bit of time was kind of lost.
Area. Cool.
Yeah, but we were kind of lost because we didn't know how to shift there. to these other demographics. But I think with the help of social media, with the help of like Instagram, we were able to understand that we don't have to try to relate to them. It's them who are already relating to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when we stopped caring about those things that we started to really see numbers go up.
Yeah.
When we stopped caring about, you know, the way that we sounded, when we stopped caring about the type of content we were giving, when we stopped creating outlines and all of these things. And that works for some people. That's great. I just am the type, like, let's just walk into this blindly and let's pray that we're going to get what we need to get out of it.
The numbers spoke. Some of those episodes where we just walked in and we were like, yo, I don't got it today, but we going to try to find it today.
And let's be very clear, for those 3 years, like, we were both fighting. We were fighting. And this isn't y'all, but this is, like, just to give you a little, like, insight. Internally, we were fighting demons that we didn't even know existed at the time. We were going through so much.
A lot of them were being brought to life through this podcast.
To the point that after season 3, I think that was our first time taking a month
and some change off.
And then after season 5, baby. And every break was just like more and more and more. And then, you know, this right now is season 7, our last season that started in September, I believe.
Yep.
But we just like totally disassociated from anything Sofrito Speaks this past summer and was just like, let's live our lives, baby. Like,
yeah, it was essentially Sofrito Speaks was our therapy.
That's how I explain to people.
And so what was happening was that it was waking things up that we might not have realized that we needed to face, that needed to be spoken about, that needed to be forgiven, that needed to be named so that we could tame it. Once you can name it, you can tame it. And so it literally was like, you know, Ruben would say something and I'm like, I'm triggered. And I'm like, wait, why do I feel this way? Or maybe I said something and, you know, he's triggered. And now he's like, wait, what? Like, and now we're both going home wrestling with these demons. Like, wait. How did... Time out, because we were laughing in El Chisme. How did we end this with this? And so now that we finally got the reins of this and we finally were like, okay, we can control it. And we know the avenues. We've been given the tools. We have a toolbox now and we have the skills. We have the mindset. We have the mentality. We have the emotional bandwidth.
We have the words to put to things. Because I remember that being a big thing season 1 where we were like, we don't know what this is. But sometimes I get upset when someone's like, you look great today. And it's like pissing me off. Or like, sorry, I just choked on my saliva. Or like, you know, understanding what narcissism is and how in understanding what narcissism is, we really are the narcissist in our lives. You know, and being able to put terminology to things and being able to share it with y'all. And I know that we've received messages from y'all where you were like, yo, I never knew someone else was going through that.
Or I never thought about it like that.
I never knew that, you know, my mom is being narcissistic because she did this. But hearing you guys talk about that, like, damn. I thought my mom, I thought that was just.
I'm so glad you guys talked about it because I could never get on a mic and talk about it. And that was the whole premise of the show. That was what we were here. That's
when we found our audience.
Yes.
It was when we were getting messages like that, like, yo. And that's when I was like, we are a mental health podcast.
Yeah.
We are about behavior. We are about mental health. We are about the biography change. Like, everything was just like, oh, this makes sense. It's a mental health podcast. Because in the beginning, we didn't know. We were just like, let's just talk about our story. Let's mimic what we were hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The New York Dose, Amanda Seale show.
And I think that's where we started to butt heads. When it was like, how come, no, we need this because it needs to sound like this.
And I wanted to do like, let's do more pop culture. And she was like, I don't want to do that. And I was like, so fine. Let me just get a section.
No, literally, can we just get a section? And there's a lot of episodes where my mouth was shut because I was like, I don't come prepared for this section because I don't care about pop culture. But
within that, in season 3, that's when we discovered like, you come with Caldero Talk.
Yeah.
I'll come with Ay Bendito.
Yep.
And if we both want to just randomly have a day where it's like, no, today I'm feeling Ay Bendito.
Yeah.
I have a, you know, you have a topic. Yep. Then it's like, okay, cool. You know, and that was season 3 and that was the structure. And we were like, okay, this is working. And, you know, we kind of came with it from that angle. What I was going to say, what I want to ask is, what would season 1, episode 1, Nina say to Nina today? And or vice versa, because I've been told I always ask that question wrong. But or what would you actually? That's what I mean. What would you tell that Nina?
Wow, what would I tell her? I don't want to say like the it gets better or anything like that. Like, I would say this. Speak your truth even if your voice shakes. And I think I held true to that this entire time. There was just an evolution on how the delivery came out. So I'm glad that even though my voice was shaky in the beginning, it just got stronger as I kept going. It's a muscle. You need to flex it. You need to work it out. And this show allowed me to figure it out. Figure out what the sound is. Figure out, you know, where do I hit home the most? And not just for an audience, but for myself. Yeah. I would say, baby girl, you were doing it.
I love
you
that.
Were doing it right. We just have to elevate it. That's it. What would you tell Rue?
Mine's is still mine.
I hate you.
No, I would definitely say, you know, because at that point in my life, I was very depressed, and a lot of people didn't know that. I would definitely say, like, you're going to be okay. And I know it's very cliche, but, like, you're going to be okay, and everything is going to work out the same way you wrote on that list. Because when I had turned 30, I wrote a list down of what I want my next 10 years to look like. And on this list, I shit you not, I wrote, by 35, I want to be living in Puerto Rico. And I realized a few weeks ago, I remembered this list. I opened the notebook and I read it, and I'm like, I'm about to be 35, and randomly, because I was against it. I was like, I don't want to move to Puerto Rico. I want to, like, move to back to New York or to California, or, like, you have heard me, like, I want to live here, I want to live there. And it was like, are you ever going to move? And then at one point it was just like, I'm just going to live here and just, like, you know, cool it. And it is what it is. And then it just randomly hit me, like, you're not, this isn't what you want. You want to move somewhere else. And I did write down that I'm going to experience a little bit of success. And I did with this. And I did also write down that, like, by 35, you want to be living in Puerto Rico. And that's if everything goes as planned, which it will. That's where I will be in a few months. And yeah, just reminding myself it's okay, because I remember turning 30. And because of society, feeling like...
Jesus.
Feeling like, preach. I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. I don't have a savings. Mm-hmm. I don't have a car. I didn't even have a license. Okay. I live with my mom. I'm overweight. Everything was just a language of beating myself up, because society made me feel like you don't have that. So now I would say to myself, like, you got it, bro. You got it. You're still dealing with your mental health issues, but the growth and the evolution of just, like, being able to calm myself down and just I'm here has been insane. The last thing that I would like to ask you is, what advice would you have for anyone else who's listening and has, like, thought about starting something?
This is super cliche, but just start.
We
sat in that Starbucks for hours. And we were trying to formulate a show. And it wasn't until we got to the event in New York that we formulated the show.
Yeah.
But also, I'll tell you this. Get around other creatives.
Absolutely.
Iron sharpens iron. You can't
you get around people. You are the second person today I heard that from.
I heard it this morning as well. You can't be around, for example, no shade to accountants, but if you are a creative and your friend group is accountants and people that are cool in what they got going on.
Were you listening to Can't Afford Therapy?
No.
Okay.
And you're with these people, they're probably most likely thinking realistically and logistically. So what these big ideas that you have, because they don't see that, because that's not where their mind is, it's going to dim your light. So you need to get around other creatives in order to fuel the juices, the creative juices that you need. Because again, as creative as Ruben and I are, it wasn't until we got to this event around other creatives where the energy was high and it was up that we were able to formulate the rest of the show before the show had even started. So when we got back home the next day, we hit the ground running. Mm. We didn't know what we were going to sound like. We didn't know what we were going to look like. We didn't know the structure just yet, but we knew what we wanted to talk about. We had a name, we had the equipment, and we had the space. And that's what we had to work with.
I would also add that don't go around telling everyone your idea. This is something that I'm trying to practice. It's so hard
when you're so high.
No. It's very important to not go to everyone, because not everyone wants that for you. And it's very easy to see. And once you start to see it, you're like, oh. You know, when we started this, I remember telling people, like, I'm on a podcast. And everyone's just like, can't even talk. You know, and it's like, it's that feeling. And the biggest way to stop doing something is by telling other people that you're going to start doing something. Just start doing it.
Mm.
You know, just really start doing it. And like you said, iron sharpens iron. Really do be around those creatives. And sometimes, and this is something that I'm going to share, take your time to study.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Study those who are doing it. Study those who have done it. Study anyone who in your eyes, and that's very important, because sometimes everyone refers to the same person, or this person did it. And it's like, okay, that's for you and that's that person. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that a lot of people have told me, like, this is what you should do with the show. This is what did. This is where you should take it. This is... And it's like,
that
babe.
Was so annoying. And we were trying. We were actually taking that into account at one point. And then we realized that if we kept doing that, we were only going to stay in the 978.
One. And two, we also realized that if we keep doing things that way, the same people that told us to do it are not even tuning into us.
Mm-hmm. Not even listening to us anymore.
They've never even heard an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking advice from someone who hasn't even heard the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
you heard of it, but
be very careful who you talk about your plans with, because a lot of people don't see it for you. They'll say they do. I've had numerous people be
until
like, yeah.
Until they get around everybody else and they're like, yo, did someone tell you that they're doing
or
this?
Or until they start to see the success and then they're like, I don't even know why you're wasting your time on that.
You still doing that little podcast?
Oof. But with all of that being said, I would like to close out our final sofritos.
Pause. I'm sorry. To go off of all of that, it just came to my head. Still do it anyways. Even though there are people in the same field doing the same thing, still do it anyways. And this is something that stuck with me. You know, think about makeup. Maybelline, L'Oreal, Fenty, All these different cosmetics.
They're all doing it, and
NYX.
They're all selling.
They're all doing it. Exactly. They're all doing the same thing, but they just put a little bit of them. They put themselves into it a little bit. So it's just.
But sometimes you don't even need to put yourself into it. Look at pizza. There's hundreds of pizza shops, and they're all still selling.
They're selling.
Same formula. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So just because, oh, but there's already this. Oh, there's already that. There are already people that
and
we're
babies,
talking about.
Let me tell
health.
You, no matter how unique you think it was, it's been done. It's been done.
Yeah.
It's all been done. And it's okay. It's about reinventing and adding your own individuality to it. And that's what's going to stick. Like I said earlier, this show didn't hit until we sat down and realized that we cannot plan everything. We just have to authentically be ourselves. And that was when we got the messages that we were craving first few episodes. Yeah. We got the vision of like what we're doing. We found what we're doing through conversation, through selling ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
And through trying different things. Because I remember we were trying to split the show into two, and you were getting half the show on Tuesday and half the show on Thursday.
Yep.
And then you wouldn't get it. Or we tried one time splitting the show, half the show on Wednesday one week and half the show on Wednesday another week. And it was just like,
what are we doing?
But we had to try those things because it was just like, we don't know what people are liking, and you know?
And at the end of the day, like, those were things that we were trying that no one really realized we were trying. But again, pay attention to the numbers. What's hitting, what's not, what's...
It's very important to understand your brand's analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people look at it and they're like, oh, this is... It's very important to understand history, to understand numbers, to understand what's working, what's not working. Yeah. And you can tell by the plays that you're getting what is working and what's not working. And the number one thing that has always stuck, even down to Nina blowing up on TikTok, it was literally talking about something that you're authentically going through.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of people related.
Yep.
A ton of people related. And they were just like, yo, I feel the same way. So.
It all translated. It all correlated. It all made sense. It all tied itself together to present itself to you in this fun little...
On this floral china.
On this floral china.
But let's close up this final Caldero talk. I would love to stay talking to you guys for the next 3 hours.
How do I say goodbye to what we had?
To the good times
that made us laugh outweigh the bad. And I thought we'd get to see the checks. All right.
Let's close out this Caldero talk. Abuela has served the final dish for the time being, mi gente. And let's go over to our next section, which is...
A reposar.
All right, mi gente, welcome to Reposar, which is the part of the show where we are just going to digest all of what we have been served.
Tirate un peo.
Burp a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't. This is how we're leaving, y'all. Yeah, any shout outs?
I would love to shout out anyone who has ever pressed play on this show.
Yes, Lord.
Whether you liked it, whether you left it, whether you returned. Listen.
Or you hated it.
To sit here and give you guys content for all those episodes that we did, it wasn't easy, like I said earlier. And I appreciate anyone who took time out of their day, whether you were a friend, an enemy, or just a random stranger. If you press play on this show, you really just made us feel, every time we saw those numbers, you made us feel validated, you made us feel seen, you made us feel heard.
Mm.
And I think that through that, that was something that we both were lacking a lot in relationships before that we got through this. So thank you all very much.
So good.
I would like to thank the New York Dolls for giving us a chance to get onto their show.
Yeah.
The Cloud and Rick Show, I think was the name of that.
Yes.
I'm so sorry if I said it wrong.
Rick Herrera and his wife.
Yes, yep, for giving us an opportunity to get onto that show. The ladies from the podcast that was in Lawrence.
Oh my God, why are we blanking?
No, I got them right here. We were tagged in something. That's why I was going on the Instagram, because I was trying to get ready for that. But I'm going to give them their proper shout out because they deserve it. And
while he does that, any and all guests that we had from season one up until, when did we stop having guests? Season five? Season four? Whatever, doesn't matter. If you were on this show, if you were able to share.
If you were on this show, man, you're fucking iconic.
And like hang out with us.
Because we don't like everyone.
You feel me? We realized we weren't for everyone. So shout out to everybody.
The Wind Podcast. That's the Rick and Cloud show. The Wind Podcast. And you can continue. I got.
So if you were on the show with us, if you rocked with us, if you shared your own journey at any point on one of our episodes, thank you for being on. Why don't I remember?
You don't. What?
Who we had as guests?
We had, and like y'all know, we don't do an outline, so
we don't
be upset with us because we did not plan anything right
now. My boy Chef Black,
yes,
Darwin Joseph, he was on an episode. I really appreciate him. That's the homie right there. I love him.
Why can I not find their podcast?
Lisi was on. She was one of our first
guests. Lisi was our first guest. Yep. Make sure y'all go stream her music. We had Jerrica on. We had Jenny, who was a guest host. Gabby was a guest host. Sam Fuller was on.
Who else did we have?
We had Enrique on. Shout out, Enrique. We had... Jared and
Andrew.
We had this person.
Did we?
Yeah.
We had Leslie on.
Yeah. I forgot the name. I'm sorry. We had the mayor of Lawrence, a big flex, period. The acting mayor, but still, big flex. Mm-hmm. Kendris Vasquez was on the show. We had the people from over at Imagina Essex. Shout out to all three of y'all.
Yes.
Period.
Felipe Taylor, was it?
Felipe Taylor and... damn, I'm blanking on his name. But he's from Minds with Purpose. And make sure you guys check that brand out because they're doing a lot of big things in the city.
Yep.
And I'm trying to also remember. We had New York Dose. We had on the show virtually. We had Andre X. We had who we still have his magnet right there. Stayed true to it, not new to it.
We did.
We had. I am like shaking right now because I'm trying to get all this information last minute.
Not me not helping. That's so on brand for me.
It's me. No, it's me going up and down the same Instagram feed thinking I'm going to find something different for me.
Shut up.
I think that was it. I think we got everybody. We had, we forgot one person. Kelsey Duran.
Yep.
Who was on with Andre X. Thank you guys for that amazing content. That's what I was looking for. Jesus. I think they took their Instagram page down because I could have sworn there was a photo that we were tagged in.
Peter Veth, who
gave us readings. Yes, make sure you guys check out Peter Veth. I could have sworn a few weeks ago I checked our tagged things and we were tagged in a video with them. But, yeah, mi gente.
Wow,
shout out to everyone who took a chance to come onto the show. Oh my God, I'm blanking on their name. The two of them.
It's Julissa and
Yan. Yes.
We had them on.
Yes. They were one of our first. Yeah. Juju and Yan. Yep. We had Lisi. Here we go. I'm on the tax page. I think I shouted out everyone. I think I got everyone. And if I didn't get you, I am very, very sorry. Living as Latinas, Audi and Jacaira.
There we go. I knew it was something with Latinas.
Thank you guys for giving us a chance to be on all of your platforms. I am super thankful for everyone, like I said, that has pressed play, who has stuck around, who is going to continue following the Sofrito Speaks Instagram page, because at some point in the future, we will do a return episode and catch up with all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And and shout out to some of our day ones, like Shakira, my cousin.
Yeah.
Jenny Gaga, who just recently, you know, started a family. Beautiful to see.
Yeah, she just recently started her own family.
And Jeanette from Her Wellness Studios, who does massage therapy. So make sure you hit up my girl. And yeah, those are three of our day ones who constantly throughout the years have always reposted us.
Yeah.
Super appreciative. Shout out to... Man, it's. I'm trying to get through everyone because I don't want to seem rude, but I really just want to give a general shout out to everyone respectfully.
Yeah.
I adore you. I appreciate you down from the bottom of my heart for tuning into this little bean that we started and planted. And shout out to you.
Shout out to you
for going on this journey with me. And it's been a beautiful 3 years to watch you grow and just become an amazing woman who's about to enter a phase in her life that any other girl can dream of.
You know, I think that's so exciting. And shout out to you for being my co-host, for riding it out, for eventually opening up and being vulnerable. It was kind of tough in the beginning. And so, yeah, and keeping me creative, keeping me
fun,
keeping it fun. Dead ass, yo. Just like never a dull moment. It's just been a good time. And I look forward to what the revisit is going to look like.
Absolutely.
And then also having a bed for me when I go to Puerto Rico to visit and I don't have to pay for Airbnb or whatever. Thank y'all.
My final quote is going to be, if you can dream it, if you can think about it, then you can absolutely do it. This is a testament to that. Mm. And yeah, I leave y'all on that positive note. What you got?
My final quote is going to be exactly what I would tell season one Nina. Speak your truth, even if your voice shakes a little bit. You never know who's listening. You never know who needs to hear it. You never know what's going to come from it. So.
And with all of that being said, for the last time in a long time, my name is Ruzales and I'm blasting off.
And I'm Nina Montañez. Stay blessed, mi gente. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Sofrito Speaks.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram @SofritoSpeaks to keep up with all of our latest content.